Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Fully Geeked Ladies. This week we're going to discuss, I actually really enjoyed it, Knives Out, which is on Amazon Prime. We've got Project Power on Netflix, and then for this week's segment of What's Happening, we're going to be discussing the boycott of BBC, the A-level results, and the quick U-turn that they had to do. And then Selfridge's Rent-A-Swap. Let's get into it. How have you guys been this week?
Mate, this week has just been
a blah week.
Blah. Yeah. Life takes over, and when life takes over,
when reality starts to set in, the closer we get to September, I think
I'm so excited for September. I don't think you understand.
Can't wait. Kids are going back to school.
I'm so excited, honestly. I've done all their school shopping now.
Going back to school.
The person that needs it the most is the baby. So I'm just excited.
Cool. And hopefully that will free up some time, if you're still working from home, to watch some of the programs that we are going to discuss, have discussed, and are looking forward to discussing. Guys, so this week we're talking about Knives Out and Project Power. Can we just start with Project Power first? Because I was looking forward to watching it. So for those of you who don't know, Project Power is on Netflix. It was released on the 14th of August, which was last week, Friday, if my maths is correct. It's literally an American superhero film regarding the pill that gives any individual that takes the pill some superpowers. And it's centered around a young man who's looking for his daughter, a drug dealer, and her police friend.
It stars Jamie Foxx.
Young. Yeah, I know. So you got Jamie Foxx. Everyone who should know who Jamie Foxx is, he stars in Dreamgirls. He's best known for his portrayal as Ray, and he's also in Django Unchained. It's got Jamie Gordon-Levitt. You guys should know him. He is that guy that always plays those soppy
same character
rom-coms. Yeah, the rom-coms, but he's playing a different character. He's in 10 Things I Hate About You. He's actually in The Dark Knight Rises, and he's in 500 Days of Summer. Then we've got Courtney B. Vance. He is if you don't know him, you'll know his face. He's the guy that played Johnny Cochran in The People versus O.J. Simpson. And we've got the lovely Dominique Fishback. And she, if you haven't watched the show, you should watch it also. And maybe it's just a show that we can discuss, but it's quite old. The Deuce.
The Deuce,
it's really good. It's such a good show. And she also stars in it. So, Sharifa, what did you think about Project Power?
Well, I like the concept, because if we think about supernaturals and powers, as much as I love them, this, I know you guys are going to say reality, but there's a more reality, there's a more realness to this, in the sense that you take a pill, whatever power that's in your DNA will either come out, or the pill will kill you, it overrides you. So it's a bit more realistic in a way, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
Matrix vibes. Yeah, so it was a Matrix vibes, and also Limitless. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Limitless. Yeah, that was good.
It's kind of like that. It's like combined together, supernatural, Limitless. But it gave me a Bright feeling. Remember Bright with Will Smith on Netflix? But even with that, it just felt like there could have been more. They could have done more.
What with Bright?
Like, no, I'm saying in terms of Project Power is Bright for me. I felt the same with Bright. It could have given
remind
me
remind me about
more.
Bright. I feel like I've seen
Bright was the Smith and the ogres.
There were different alien.
Basically, the hierarchy of life. Rich people were the fairies, and ogres were black ogres, people, I guess. And then the police.
It was just
different. I don't think I've seen it.
It's on Netflix. It was out last year or year before. Yeah, last year. It was really good.
It was quite good. And
I've
it's the same.
It a few times.
I've watched it twice too. It's the same feel for me with Project Power. I just felt like there needed to be more. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just felt like there needed to be more from it. I don't know. I was just left a bit.
I enjoyed it. It was, for me, it was one of those Saturday afternoon movies. I did really enjoy that it was a movie. And again, we touched on this last week when we were talking about Umbrella Academy. It was one of those movies that didn't have swearing in it. And I don't know why I'm so fascinated about movies that have bad language. But I think...
Do you swear?
I don't swear.
That's why,
Well, I do, when but I'm not like...
annoyed. I'm you not say the FFS one. Yeah. You say the FFS yeah. one.
It's not like, oh, get out of effing
it. Yeah, it's not... Yeah, exactly. But I think it's... I think now that I've got kids and now that we've been at home and obviously we watch things for the pod, if I can watch something that is not so gory, and I didn't find this that gory, and I can watch it with my children, I will... I think I...
There were bits that were gory.
I didn't watch it with my kids because I saw the rating, but my kids were slightly older. That wasn't gore for me. Me personally.
It wasn't okay. It wasn't gory, but it was explicit. Like there was certain gunshots, stabbing someone in the neck, in the eye.
Hence why I wouldn't watch it with my kids. But if they were a little bit older, if my son was about 12, I'd let him watch it. For me, it wasn't that deep. It was as I was saying, it was that Saturday afternoon. Again, I didn't think it was that movie that I would need to watch it at night. It was that Saturday afternoon movie. For me, it was on par with you remember the olden day James Bond movies that used to come on Saturday in the afternoon? It was on par with that. It wasn't a bad movie, but I just think, like you said, Sharifa, the concept was good, and there was so much more that for me personally could have done with it that's how I felt. I did not come away thinking, oh, are they going to do
a part two? Or... I think they might do though.
Yeah,
you think
just not with James.
Does it deserve a part two?
It could. Yeah. Like they could expand on it definitely.
If they expanded on it, they could. And I guess without giving too much away, due to the fact of the natural ability of his daughter and the power that she has, you can kind of tell that, you know, this is not necessarily the end of it. I don't know. Jamie Foxx, I kind of feel like he's lost his... I don't know where to place him.
I think he doesn't fit the character they put him in. He's not Taken. He's not a Will Smith. He's not that. Sure. My daughter is missing.
But he's done quite a few action films.
Yeah, but this type did not suit. I did and I didn't, if that makes sense. Some part of me felt it because he did look like, I need to go and get... But I don't know. It's just,
I don't think his acting was particularly great in this. Mm. Like, if you look at Ray, if you look at... even when he was in... And people correct me if I'm wrong, because this is knowledge now. Miami Vice. I'm sure it was him that was in Miami Vice.
I don't think so.
There was a film, Miami Vice. Well, as I'm talking...
I don't know.
I'm sure it was Jamie Foxx.
Not ringing a bell with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing Jamie Foxx in Miami.
Miami Vice?
I could be wrong. It was a remake to Miami Vice. I'm sure it was Jamie Foxx. But as we're doing the research...
Now I'm going to Google.
You are right. Yeah, 2006, Miami Vice. Yeah,
don't
Ricardo.
Don't test me, girls. Don't test Ricardo me. Tubbs. Knowledge. He was good in Miami Vice.
Miami Vice.
So when it comes to this now, I'm just like, and then it kind of thinks to myself, are people meant to be typecast for a reason? Which is not necessarily great because you get put in a box. But I don't know. It's almost like the police officer, Frank, when his character, every time I see his face, I just think, aren't you just meant to be telling some girl that you love her and like, you know?
I believed his acting. I would hate to be typecast because
everyone has an expectation of the level of acting and that's it. So when you try to do anything else, they're just like,
I actually liked him in this. I thought he was believable. It's opening him up to his character developing. With Jamie Foxx, I think, in saying all of what we've said, I think with Jamie Foxx, there was not much he could do. In this character, he was just a dad looking for his daughter, fighting, and then he
looked into my eyes.
Power.
I'm a liar.
I thought that was just crap. I was just like, I'm looking and I don't see anything. Now let's touch on Robin, who's played by Dominique, isn't it? She was all right. She was all right. Yeah. She gave that typical stereotype. I don't know. There was just. I think everyone's acting.
She's 30 years old.
She's 30. Yeah, I could tell she was older than the character she was playing, but not that old. I didn't think she was that old. Wow.
What was your rating out for the film then, guys?
I'll say 8.
Oh, so it was 8. Quite good.
I'd say 7 or 8. I'm saying seven or eight because of the potential. Because if you look at this, some of the symbolic things that they put in there, in terms of the pill is being trialed in the ghetto, let's say, and it gives you that sense of how cocaine, all of those things started. How did it start? It wasn't trialed, but you know what I mean. The dealers were given in the projects and all those type of places. So I like that it kept to that history, if I must say. So that's what made it a bit more real, that if something like that was to ever be brought out, it might actually be tested out in people that they don't mind killing themselves or using it in the way they need to use it. And then I like the fact that they also, with each pill, had a code. So if you take it, you're tracked. So from the moment you take that pill, you become a tracked citizen. So they're able to look and see how it affects you, how it does all these things. So it was interesting.
This is a new film talking about pills that you take when you track and you get tracked. This reminds me of what Bill Gates and all the other people are trying to do with vaccines. Anyway, conspiracy theories we will not get into.
These things are not far-fetched.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Question. If you had to take the pill, would you take it? Not even have to. Would you take it? To just see what type of power you have.
Nah, man, because all of them things have side effects.
Yeah, because the thing is, your body might not be able to take it. Your body might not be able to take it. And also look at that girl that was freezing power. She couldn't, her body couldn't sustain it. The girl with the freezing power.
Yes, her body couldn't sustain it
and then she died. So you don't know, but at the same time, it's a part of me. I think about...
But that's life, you don't know. So.
Yeah, 60% of me is like, if I was given it, would I taste it? You can't taste that. It's literally like pew, pew, pew.
At the end of the day, that's a drug. I know this is fictional, but for me, it's a drug either way. Mm-hmm. I do not know what is going to happen unless it has been clinically proven and the doctor
even says, then,
are you allergic to antibiotics? Mm-hmm. All that kind of stuff. Nah, I ain't taking it.
And if you look at it, the detective, you could tell he was a bit addicted to it.
Yeah, he was.
Do you have any more? Do you have any more? Yeah. You get addicted to the power. So it is practically a power project. It is that. You get addicted to
project
the
power.
Project power. It gives you that sense of you could be something else and you can use your power for more.
My power.
I don't know if I was to ever be in power, if I would use it selfishly. I can't see myself doing that. But then I guess the more success and the more control and power you have,
you won't use that your own. You same girl last week that said I have a rumor. You see,
no, in the sense of outlook. Don't hold my words against me. Oh my god! What I mean is, like, I can't see myself like being a. I don't want to say his name. DT in America. I can't see myself being. Like,
everybody,
kind of,
she
like,
meant Donald Trump.
I didn't want to say it. That's your business. You said it, not me. I can't imagine myself just being like.
Take over the world.
A dictator. Like, I'd want to help power, everyone.
Yeah, but this power is mainly about... Is
no, I meant
power.
Generally. I meant generally.
Oh, generally. Having power generally.
Yeah.
I would love to have power generally.
Me too, mate.
Do you not think after a while, because you're in this position of power, it then eventually gets to your head and that's why people turn mad, like these people in power become.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but I guess it's how you use it, right? Well, if you have this power and you're addicted and all you want to do is tell people what to do and whatever, then yeah, probably.
Okay, good example.
But if you use it wisely and then I say to you, okay, Sharifa, you live in this side of the world or whatever,
time travel, power,
but I'm giving you this power to go and I'm delegating some responsibility to you so you can go and do whatever in that side of the world. Well, you know, I'm delegating this, make sure that you stick within the guidelines, other than that you can do what you want.
Obviously these things are fictional, but think about the Lord of the Rings when they have the power of the ring, they all become like, Lord of the Rings, excuse me when she had the sword in Cursed, she was getting a bit like she was trying to help everyone, then she started
all those metals were made from something demonic before they became powerful.
Okay, no,
it wasn't made from the light,
said, darling. We're going somewhere else. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean, generally, don't you think that after a while you've got this thing, eventually you're gonna just go a bit crazy,
or get to your head,
yeah,
you start using it with your own you think you have the power to change and do everything,
but you don't have the power.
But you don't realize that it's messing you up and you are going overboard.
Yeah.
But like with Sharisha power said, comes all those things came from something, and some of those things that it came from are not necessarily
good. Yeah, they weren't from a good place. Good. Yeah, but we're not going there today, so.
Anyhow, Project Power, 7 and 8 out of 10. I mean, check it out. It's not a bad watch. Definitely. I think if you're struggling to find something to watch and you want to watch something on Netflix, you should go ahead and.
I would hate someone to describe the film I've spent all my time, money, effort, and money on. If you're struggling to find something to watch, just have a look. Can you imagine?
It's a good watch. So. I watched it at night over a really good Chinese, and it was amazing.
That sounds like the beginnings of date night, but we're not going to get into that right now.
I didn't say that.
Knives
okay.
Out.
So I really
the next thing we watched was Knives Out. Guys, for the listeners, I think it was Sharifa that recommended Knives Out, and I was thinking, what is she talking about? Knowing that this film was actually released in October 2019, and then it was released on Amazon Prime in June the 20th. And I actually watched it the beginning of lockdown with my husband, because I started watching it. I was thinking, why does this thing look so familiar? So I had completely forgot all about it. But Knives Out, it is literally a whodunit movie. And that's what I'm going to say about it without giving too much away. It stars a great cast, Daniel Craig. We all know him as 007. It also stars Chris Evans. If you don't know who he is, he
Captain
is
Captain America.
And we've got Anadi Amaris. I couldn't find too much about her, but she is the lady that is predominantly accused of the murder. And we've got the beloved Jamie Lee Curtis. You should know her from Halloween, My Girl 2, Freaky Friday, the rest of it. And
I love her.
How can I forget him? I forgot him again. But we've got Lakeith. We've got Lakeith Stanfield.
Yes.
He is from Get Out. He is also from Atlanta, if you ever watched Atlanta. And he's also from Dope. If you haven't seen Dope as a movie, go and watch it. It is one of the
It is dope.
It is literally about dope, but it's dope. It's one of my favorites. Yeah. But Lakeith Stanfield, and he also goes by Keith, depending on how he's feeling, but he's called Lakeith Stanfield, is in it as well. So it's literally a whodunit. Paulina, over to you. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. I had to just double check. I was like, hold on, am I watching the right thing? Because it's set in like a back in the day type vibes in terms of the filming of it. So I was like, how can this be filmed from last year, but it looks so old? But I think that really added to the whole theme of the thing. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So I kind of could predict what was going to happen when it happened, but I still enjoyed it. So I don't want to give away too much, but I feel like in the old man scenario, when you've got money, you are going to be used by your loved ones, unfortunately. So I could see. Am I giving it away?
No, you're not. I was going to say, when you said old man, one of the things I was going to say, did you not get Umbrella Academy vibes?
Yeah. Even the house. Even the way the house was set up.
And the way all the kids were just messed up in their own little
way. Yeah. But I feel like whenever there's money involved, there's a level of greed. And the only person that wasn't that was the carer. So I could see when they said that he was going to do what he did and left the money to her, I was like, I knew it. I really liked I liked how it all played out. I just really liked it. I've got nothing else to say. I really enjoyed it. I'd watch it again.
I honestly thought that it was a game he was playing, because he's a crime murder mystery writer.
Yeah.
So I just thought, I don't know, everything just seemed too, maybe it's because I was able to predict certain things. I was just like, nah, this seems too easy. There's something, there's a twist. Because I kind of knew who did it. I kind of already knew.
Early on, isn't it?
But I thought maybe he actually wasn't dead. That was my
especially when
she walked out and then he goes that, because remember he said they don't know the difference between a prop and a real staring at them. So when he said that, in my head I thought he just did it to get that big impact, because he needed someone vulnerable and someone willing to buy into his act to think that he was really dead. Do you get where I'm going with this? So I actually thought he was just playing a game and then comes out in the end going, aha, or actually get killed. Oh, there are some crazy people. Money does have crazy boredom.
I was watching actually on BBC too. We don't talk about BBC, but last year. this man, it was because obviously I'm into forensics and stuff, but this man was so lonely in his life, in real life, that he stabbed himself in the neck as a way of killing himself. I was like, you must be desperate to need to do that. But it's
So he committed suicide
suicide by stabbing himself in the neck, but they had to investigate it as if it was a murder, and then they realized
That's normal. I thought you meant someone made a fake their own death. I thought that's going with that.
He actually died.
Let me get
this right. So he killed himself so that the police can investigate it. So he wanted to become famous.
Any death is suspicious is investigated, isn't it? So they were investigating it, they realized there was no forced entry, there was no this, there's no that, no fingerprints of anyone else but him, and that his hand was the fingerprints on the knife was his, and blah blah blah. So it all, you have to investigate something if it's so that's what not that he wanted it to be like a whodunit thing. I said that's an extreme way to kill yourself, and then she was like, yeah, people do that. I said, yeah, there's a documentary I watched where a man
I think you're making
me confused with my own thoughts. It's late.
It's irrelevant because it's Knives Out, right? Get it?
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it was all right. It was a good watch. I actually really, really enjoyed it. And I can't wait for them to do more of it.
Yes.
I think there will be more of it. And it gives me because I used to watch Columbus Truck quite a lot.
I used to watch Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, me too. I used to love
it. Oh, Dick Van Dyke as well.
Diagnosis Murder.
Diagnosis Murder was my thing. I would get home from school and I'd be like, yes.
Listen, I still watch it now. If it comes on now, I'll still actually watch it. I actually really like it.
Columbo's the best out.
And that's why I think that's what Daniel Craig was trying to portray, because you know that clueless detective.
I actually really appreciated his accent. He did really well.
And that clueless detective that's just like making fun of things and then goes serious and then doesn't go serious. That is a Columbo vibe.
The bit that I just thought was random. You know when like he sees her and then they go on a police chase and then they chase, like, where was she going?
Because I think that was meant to be, I think that was all part of it.
Yeah.
Who?
It was part of what's his name?
Daniel Craig.
Chris Evans. Yeah, it was part of Chris Evans.
She decided to drive off, didn't she?
Yeah, but he never stopped her. Do you see the way he was acting? He wasn't really like, don't stop. No, where are you driving to? You could tell
he was
from
trying to get her to get the clue, wasn't it?
He was trying to make her look as guilty as possible. So when they get caught, you know. But yeah. It was a good watch. It was definitely a good watch. And I, as I said, I'm looking forward to the second one. I hope they don't make us wait too long for it, because it would lose its momentum. It needs to come out.
I don't think it will
lose its momentum, because if it's a different storyline, it'll be good. But I feel like I don't want them to overdo it, like with another one and another one. Then that will be like, okay, we get it. Because then they will lose the essence of the show, I think. Mm. It'd have to be like, it could be, do you guys watch American Horror Story?
I've heard about it.
What?
I know. Everyone keeps saying it's a good
watch. It is a bit like, because some things are a bit like, I love it in the same sense. But I don't think you can ever get bored of them, because for them, every like series is a different story altogether, but with the same characters. So everyone comes back at different seasons. So it could be good, but who knows?
We will wait and
see.
I
echo you guys' sentiments. It was good when I watched it. I appreciate Daniel Craig, because we always know him for that.
James Bond, Moody.
And unless he's in Lock, Stock and Barrel, I think that was another film. You can test me if you want to. Or is it Snatched? It's one of them. It's one of them Guy Ritchie movies that he's in. He's always playing a tough guy, kind of serious kind of character. So it was nice to see him outside of his comfort zone. It was also nice to see Chris Evans. I don't know Chris Evans in any other movie apart from Avengers, the Avengers franchise. So it was
Fantastic Four.
Still part of Avengers, but still part superhero.
Yeah, that's what.
Again, there's something I'm about feeling. Him. I don't know whether it's because he is Captain America.
You can't see him as bad.
I can't see him as anything but Captain America.
Yeah.
An angry.
It's true. I couldn't see him. Like, even when he was dressed, I was like, oh, he looks, Captain America looks nice.
Even when without giving too much away, but towards the end, when he did what he did, I was just like, I still can't see him as being bad.
Yeah,
I
just
think
it's Captain just weird. America. It's weird. I do like the fact that I kind of do feel that the film, like we've all discussed, has this Columbo, Murder, She Wrote kind of vibe, especially with, is it Columbo? Which one of those shows, they actually show you who the murderer is? I think it's Columbo first, and then you work out
how he does it. Yeah.
With Knives Out, although they didn't show us who the murderer was, there was certain parts of the movie that was the way they shot it, and if you concentrated hard enough, you kind of got who the murderer was. Just for example,
I didn't, to be honest, until I got nearer the end.
They kept on focusing on the old woman, you know, the old woman that sits by the window.
Yeah, oh, and she's like, "You're back again."
Yeah, you're back again. And she was saying certain things, and I was thinking, what's going on here? And then as you watch it, as they keep going back to make reference and then coming back and forth, then you kind of think, well, actually, it can't be of this person because this is it. So it must be that person. And if you listen to certain things that certain characters say, then you would realize that if you're like in tune with it, you kind of get, actually, it could be you that did that, killed the person and all the rest of it. So for me personally, like Shreve said, I had to guess it about 3 times, but by the third go, I knew who the murderer was. But yeah, it was so. I didn't know who
the murderer was until he revealed it. I was like, "What?
Oh, really?
I knew
they did it intentionally.
I knew he was giving the money to. I knew all of that bit, but when the murderer, I was like, it makes sense.
What you need to do, Paulina, if you watch it again and just listen to certain things certain characters say and watch certain shots. Over time, that's what I said. I got it after 3 attempts. I was it's him.
It's her. And I need to stop watching TV because I either watch TV doing stuff, so I'm picking it up, or I watch TV half asleep. So, like I did with Bloody Money Heist, I fell asleep on episode 4, woke up at episode 6 when she had a bullet in her head. I was like, "Are you joking?"
I remember when you messaged, going, "I can't believe it, Sherry." I woke up
with her. I was like, "No,
you missed it."
That happens to me sometimes.
I'm
sick
of it.
Just stop. Do you not?
Because I know because I'm like, I'm not gonna fall asleep, but I'm literally like halfway asleep.
When you do fall asleep,
but you know that bit when you're awake but you're asleep, I'm always there. Then before I know it, it's episode 10, I've missed the whole series.
I don't know about this limbo sleeping that you do for you.
Listen, I'm not gonna watch TV. My kids control the TV. I can't do anything. Watch bloody Alpha Blocks all day. So literally, it's my only time. I fall asleep.
Alpha Blocks, please.
So Knives Out was good. I agree. If you have Amazon Prime and eligible for it, you can watch it for free. Or if not, I think it's about $3.99.
I need to check if I'm on the spectrum or something because I've had Amazon Prime for years. And I was like, one time, I was like, oh my gosh, I get Amazon Prime, but I don't pay for it. And then this year, the money came out. I was like, huh? So all this time, I'm going to be watching TV as well. And I'm paying. So I'm enjoying myself at Amazon right now. Just for
What I did like about Amazon Prime is I just had it because of deliveries. And then you just
I didn't know the TV was added to it.
Oh, I
knew
that.
They didn't have the TV before. The TV it's just quite recent. It's a couple of years old.
Okay, that's all right then. I'm not that hurt.
But all in that boat. So when it came out, it was like, okay, cool. But I still didn't even pay any attention to it. And I think they were the first ones, they were the first ones to start rivaling Netflix. Because they had their own specials and then everyone started.
Look at the Amazon Prime.
Apple TV came along as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyhow. So yeah, guys, we watched Knives Out and Project Power to give those shows or films a go. And you won't be disappointed. Knives Out, especially if you do like a light-hearted whodunit
a few giggles
it's really good, actually. I like it. It's almost like you're in one of those murder mystery
Yeah, you're taken away from yourself. Yeah,
you watch it, you're taken away from yourself, and it's really good. So yeah,
that's what I liked about it.
Okay,
can I just go back to Knives Out? Did you find that a bit hilarious, you know, when they found out about the will and they all start running to the car and the girl goes, follow me on Instagram. I'm not over 20 anymore, but follow me on Instagram. I was busting up so hard.
That's another thing, that the fact that it was set in that old daytime visually, but it was very current. I appreciate that as well.
It's just the way they filmed it, but
yeah. Mm. No, for me, it just gave me like, I don't know, 1999.
Olden daytime.
Yeah.
1999.
Like, you know when TV was like a bit hazy and that you can't, unless
it's just the way the
quality.
They filmed it.
Can you imagine that? It wasn't the quality, it's just my TV. But you know, for me, I thought, that's why I double checked. That's why I double checked. I said, hold on, is it look like this or is it me? But then you're like, no.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah.
Moving on to what's been happening this week. Guys, what should we talk about? What should we talk about first? BBC boycott.
I feel like we shouldn't talk about it because we're boycotting them, but we might just let them.
I'm not. Oh. You two can. I'm not. BBC boycott, for those of you that don't know, a news reporter, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, decided in her report that she was going to brazenly use the N-word. She didn't say the N-word. She literally spelled out the word.
No, she said it.
Yes, she said the word. That's what I mean. She literally said the word beep, beep, beep.
Why?
And
the word beep, beep,
people
beep.
Were talking about it and telling the BBC, what are you doing? And the BBC
had 18,000 complaints plus or something like that.
Yeah.
BBC said it with their chest that they didn't feel there was anything wrong with.
Do you know why they said that? Because they said that the family gave them permission, the family didn't find anything wrong with it, so they could use it. Basically saying, oh, well, my black
family,
friend used it, so I can use it.
The family do not talk for every black person in the world. And exactly. The N-word is not, it has
because they were repeating what the attack was and what they said to him. I know, of course it doesn't matter. But that was their justification for why they had to use it.
But you're a massive broadcaster. You're BBC England, BBC States, BBC Asia. You're a massive broadcaster. Yeah. You should know right from wrong. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Especially during these times.
Exactly. They didn't feel that they did anything wrong. And then we have our beloved, and I really do like him, Sideman.
Yeah.
I forgot what his real name is. But Sideman, he was on he's a presenter on BBC Radio 1 Extra. He is hilarious. He talks a lot of sense, but he's so funny. He had decided, and I think it's people like that that actually are really true to the movement.
Yeah.
He said that he's not going to work for the BBC anymore because if the BBC can actually sanction and say that it's okay for somebody to say the N-word fully live on national television, then what is that saying about the BBC and what is that saying about how they feel about black people? So he resigned. Mm-hmm. And I think through his resignation, and girls come in, correct me if I'm wrong, because after his resignation, I kind of left the BBC thing for a while. People were talking about boycotting the BBC and that he needs some sort of compensation. And so a lot of people, and what I did read, a lot of people of colour who worked for the BBC were also saying on, which was today, the 19th of August, people should boycott the BBC. And I guess boycotting the BBC for one day means that you don't watch anything that's on the BBC, you don't go to the websites, you don't do X, Y, Z, blah, 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 for 24 hours. Hoping that it's going to have an impact, hoping that the BBC will see the errors in their ways. Since Sideman resigned, I do believe that the BBC did put out a statement or came out and apologised and said that they realised that everything was, what they had done was not correct, and they issued out a statement. But what do you guys think about this boycott?
I think everything is a stand, isn't it? And from the time that they said they weren't even bothered about it till Sideman resigned, is a statement in itself. Yes, they've apologized after, but they didn't see anything wrong. So if Sidemen didn't resign and all these things didn't happen afterwards, they would have just happily gone on. And when you excuse one little act, that's when, you know, it starts being more and more and more and more and more. And I know some people are like, oh, boycott and won't do anything, but it's just a stand. Sometimes there's not much some of us can do. Like, there's actually not much we can do, but collectively as a whole, if we stand for something, then it can impact, it may not impact their money, it may not impact anything, but it's a statement. It's a statement to say that anything you do that negatively affects us as a Black community, we will stand together and make sure you hear us in the whatever
is,
way.
It's not just Black people that would be boycotting BBC. It's a lot of people who just feel like it's
wrong,
ridiculous. And yeah, because I had my white friends reposting the whole boycotting BBC post today and stuff. So even with that silly man Billy Steele on the train being racist, a lot of white people were like angry about how racist he was being because it's ridiculous. So I think yes, people, hopefully it does open their eyes. The thing is, these corporate people are those people that don't rub shoulders with day-to-day people and don't rub shoulders with, I guess, Black people unless they've got them in their families and stuff. So they don't necessarily see, I feel like to them, they don't necessarily care and it's not going to change much to those types of people, and like especially in like high places and stuff. So I think it's just this in a sense to me is like just to fill a quota type thing rather than actually going to change anything. Sadly, if it was boycotted for a month, fair enough, but I can't see a day affecting anything or making them think about the error of their ways.
That's my point. You still pay your TV license to the BBC because you watch either you watch live TV. So if you watch live TV on any channel and you watch live TV on the internet, you have to have a TV license. If you just watch stream shows, you do not have to have a TV license. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the ways you can get away with not paying a TV license, if you watch pre-recorded shows or things that have been streamed later on. But anything that's live and anything from the BBC, you have to pay. And we all watch things on BBC and we all watch things that stream from the BBC. So we're all paying our TV license, because I don't even think half the world know that you don't actually need a TV license. So we're all currently paying the TV license to the BBC. And I hear what you guys are saying. We do have to take a stance. We do have to stand for something. But this is just another thing for me where I don't think anything's going to come of it. And I don't think it's a big enough stance. 24 hours, really? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yeah. Nothing. Oh, you know, if I was a corporate person.
You've recorded it for tomorrow.
It will blow over, you know. Let me get Shaniqua
from, you know, to make a statement. You know,
Do we have a Black girl?
Oh, my next door neighbor. Yeah.
We will get that girl from Little Mix.
Who's not even Black? Little Mix,
to do a show on colorism.
Isn't she half?
And that will appease them.
Yeah, we can get her.
Her parents are mixed race.
And then you know what will happen is they won't say anything.
They won't even notice. Don't you say sorry?
There's a girl that I follow on Instagram, and she is very, very good at dissecting a lot of issues and a lot of things. And she made a point the other day when Black Lives Matter was at its peak, and when we all or whoever put up black squares and things like that, it was great. But what are you doing after that?
There's still movements going on. I was in Central London.
I'm not talking about us personally. I'm just talking about the
Black Square people.
Example, the movement. People.
For example, someone like me, there are movements going on, but how active am I in those movements compared to when Black Lives Matter was at its peak? And there'll be some people that are just doing certain things just for the fact that it's now.
Just
and
for then the hashtag.
They're not doing anything. So, and don't forget, the media control a lot of things, and they will see all of this, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, they're going to boycott it. Okay, haha. All they'll then do is they'll be like, okay, the 70 Black people that work for the BBC will get a pay rise, and then they'll be happy. But then the real issue hasn't changed. And I think someone like Sidemen, you know, it wasn't, it was deep for him. It was proper deep. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to make a stance,
especially when they're using him,
a bold stance. And he made that bold stance. Yeah. You know, he made that bold stance to be like, you know,
the thing is,
they were using him for all like their news footage when it was like with the Black Lives Matter thing, because obviously he was going to protest and he was speaking and he's coming in the news. So he was like their black spokesman. So for him to step down because they did this is a big statement in that sense.
It's a big statement, but I feel like he could have done more.
Like what?
He could have done more being there than stepping down. Like sometimes you have to make change. You have to change from inside. Like
because at the same time,
I get it. The thing is, I'm not there.
He can do.
No, I understand that.
They're like, oh, get rid of him.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I get that. But what I'm trying to say is sometimes I'm not there, so I can't really speak up for him much. But I'm just saying sometimes from the inside, you could change more from the inside down from the outside. And I get where you're coming from in the sense that he'll be that black man that's always trying to make things about race in the office. That's how it'll turn out.
Like, it just becomes a joke.
But still, you just never know. That's when the discrimination suit comes across if they decide to drop him because he's talking too much about race. So he could play a lot of things in his own way. Yes, he could have, but I don't know. I'm just saying this.
He could, that's just an opinion.
But the flip side to what you're saying, Sharifa, is the fact that, like Paulina said, he was their black spokesperson to a degree. He would have brought in viewers. He would have brought in a lot more attention, aka
younger kids as well.
Bringing the BBC a lot more money. Now he's gone. He will go to another platform and do exactly what you said to do, bring awareness, but to another platform, aka her in the BBC. So it's a catch-22.
I can see ITV that, just opening their arms like, come on, Sidemen. Come on. We've got you.
Like you said.
Channel 4 special.
ITV especially, because obviously Love Island, so that would be lovely for him if they did that.
I haven't seen him actually present anything other than the show with ZZ Mills.
That's what I'm saying. But he did the whole Love Island segment
it's
thing.
It's a comment. How do you
So he would take the piss out of everyone.
Yeah.
So if he got an ITV deal, that would work in his favour.
That'd be
sad. Yeah.
So he's all right. The thing is, he'll be all right. He will be all right.
That's why he did it, because he don't need it.
Yeah, you guys are right. It's true.
People that need things, he would just be staying silent like some of them are. But he was like,
Not necessarily. Not necessarily.
Don't you think?
You know?
Come on, if that was his only income, he would think twice. Especially
during Corona. We don't know what his pockets are. And certain people will leave their jobs. I have a few people in my network that have left their jobs with no jobs to go to. Off just like that.
These type of things.
You're not helping me.
I've had
my mental health.
I've had a friend that has literally brought her company to open up their eyes. They've had to have meetings on Zoom and stuff, and she's had to lead it on racial awareness and, you know, what the Black Lives Matter movement means. And it's important. I think in everyone's job, if you feel like there's an injustice somewhere is not be made aware of, then you just have to find a way to stand your ground and make it more aware. But
if you're an asset to the company, they'll feel it. If you're not an asset to the company, they'll get someone to replace you. Like they say in Scandal, the snake always grows its head. There's always the new head, the snake, whatever that saying is. Anyway, I am very happy that I'm very happy that he decided to take such a bold stance. And I think if we are all brave enough, if we all did that, then a lot more potentially could happen a lot faster in our favor than it is now. But for me personally, I didn't watch
BBC like that anyway.
To be honest, I don't actually watch it like that. So
I didn't know about the boycott. And had I known about the boycott, I wouldn't have been boycotting. Not because I agree with what they're saying, but I just don't think that
it's not progressive.
Given the ratios of black people and white people in this country, me boycotting the BBC and not watching Doctors on BBC Two was not going to do on BBC One in the afternoon was not going to do anything to hurt their population.
The thing is, I don't watch BBC like that, so boycotting it is not a big issue for me.
I boycott
even if
it
it's
anyway.
Not going to do anything, even if it's not going to do anything, it's not a big deal for me. So I can go probably a whole month without watching BBC, to be honest. So it's not an issue. So yeah, it wasn't.
I guess the bigger picture is that, like you had said before, Sharifa, is that a stance has to be taken so that they can open their eyes. But we shouldn't have to get to, again, it's always that way. You shouldn't have to get to a police officer to put his knee on someone's neck before you open your eyes. We shouldn't have to have someone to make to use a racial slur for us to then boycott, for you to realize that actually this is not right. It should just
be
executives out there that, like you said, they know and that are ready to open their mouth to be like, actually this is not right.
If anything, it was for attention, because what the hell, why else would, like, it's just, it's dumb. How in a height of a peak of racial tensions do you think it's okay to go and say it, regardless of the context of why you're saying it, when you know why it was even made in the first place? Like, it's dumb. But yeah, it was stupid. They knew what they were doing.
Hey, how? Yeah, so we wish Sideman all the best. If he wants to come and join the Fully Geek Ladies, we can have Fully Geek Ladies and Sideman. Hit us up, let us know. The next thing that we're going to talk about, guys, I can't believe Selfridges. So Selfridges are now doing rental. You can go to Selfridges and rent your handbag, your shoe, your clothes, your Dior sunglasses.
It's never worth it. Want,
and go and finesse the ladies or the men out
there. That's embarrassing.
So Selfridges have now stepped into this clothing rental business, like I've just said, where you can literally just go online and pick a few things to rent. Obviously, you have to pay a monthly charge and all the rest of it. But we're going to have young people out there who are using their student loan
influencers
to go and rock Chanel handbag and pretend that it's theirs, when really they have to return it at the end of the month.
Is it worth it?
This just reminds me of Sex in the City, because Carrie used to do this. Carrie used to do a rent
it's
a bag.
It's never that deep to need to want to rent clothing. Because what?
But that's the thing. Some people make their money from social media, so renting is not, and it's actually a better idea for them, because they don't keep the stuff sometimes.
Okay, perfect example.
For them, people that are making money, for them, this actually will be more profitable for them in the long run, if that makes sense.
But you know, like, obviously she's not Visa Bay now, but the girl who didn't have a visa, and she had this massive following because she had all these designer things, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And then it came to light that she actually might be chucked out of the country because she doesn't have the right to stay here. But now she's married. She had to go on news and say to everybody, I actually don't have all of these things. It's for show. Do you not find that embarrassing? Just to make something of yourself on social media. And now you're having to publicly tell everyone, actually, these aren't my things.
But then, like we said, how many followers, how many deals or whatever. Look, she's called Visa Bay. So all of that, the publicity that she's got has helped her one way or the other than
she had publicity before. So then when it came out that she needed a visa, everyone was like, but hold on, you've got all this money to buy these things. Then she then had to come and say, I actually don't have all the money to buy these things. It's just for
she spent all of it.
She's borrowing her friend. She's like, oh, that's my friend's bag. Oh, this is my this bag. But she posts it, giving that false illusion. So it's not healthy.
Well, any normal person.
But to be honest, a lot of the influencing. No, but the influencer world is a fake world anyway.
It definitely is. But I don't think it's a healthy thing. I don't think the influencer thing is healthy, to be honest, in the sense of it gives everybody a false image what is unattainable. But you can't be saying you're buying all these bags, but you don't actually own it, or you're living in a council house, or you're living at your mum's house, or you're like, you can't, if that's your lifestyle, Kylie Jenner, great.
Then do it.
If it's not your lifestyle, just be humble. So to let people, to be going to rent a Chanel bag that if I damage, I now have to pay double the cost of it.
If you look at some of the prices that they have on there, I went on there and I just saw some of them, and I was just like, so a top, one of the outfits was like 1,700 and something pounds, but I was being rented for £28 or something like that. That's the cheapest. That's the cheapest.
Wait,
I actually didn't invest.
Clothes, yeah?
That's
so
the cheapest.
So you now want me to go...
To be responsible for that amount.
You are going to be thinking to yourself that I'm now going to go to Selfridges to go and buy or rent a designer dress that 10 other people have worn. Nah, man. How many dry cleaning sessions that
people don't bath
has had. That's just not right. Mm. And to be fair... It's true, you're upholding an image that is just
unattainable.
And what's the point?
Exactly.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I can see how it could work for example, if it's like your a major birthday, say, for example, your 30th, your 40th, your 50th, and you wanted that classic couture look for one night or whatever, and, you know, certain things you're just never going to wear again, maybe it could work.
Potentially there,
And but that's just a one night affair thing. Do you know what I mean?
You wear it, but you then it will become a thing where it's like, oh, I need to do that again, and then it becomes a habit. Then it becomes a cycle.
Yeah, but it all depends on how you do it. If you're, for example, if you're gonna do it for your birthday, it's my 40th, it's my 50th, whatever, my 30th, and I want a couture outfit. Cool. But then if you're not gonna say, okay, I did it for my birthday, but it's my friend's birthday coming up and I need to look bad, and I'm
this
gonna
is
do it
what
again,
I'm saying.
Then it's just like, nah.
That's what will happen though. That's what happens to these people. They go in for a little bit of lipo, then they're like, oh, that looks good. Let me just go and fix my nose. Then it's
look
like, oh,
Riley,
I need a bit of Botox.
Riley Burris. She's
I don't know what
done.
She did to her nose, but she should have left her nostrils alone because they were fine as they were. And now she's like she looks like a middle-aged woman. Not going to lie, she does. Just leave it as they are. Just wait till you get to that point. People, like, I was so desperate to move out of my house and stuff. And everyone was like, but just wait. Like, you will enjoy it more when it's yours rather than stressing.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I was like, it's true. Let me just wait, be humble, and I'll get there eventually. But I think
that's
false
the problem
image
with,
is just disgusting.
That's a problem with social media and giving selling people buying into the false pretense of other people. Like, people, you can look at someone's outfit, look at someone's stuff, and just say, oh, that's nice, and leave it as that. But it gives the younger generation now are buying into that, wanting these things they see. So they,
like,
see, yeah, someone with a perfect body. They see someone
and
that plays into their insecurity. That
it will be
like,
them that's going to buy, it will be them that's going to, it will be the younger generation that's going to rent all these things
and put themselves in debt,
to
probably.
That person.
To
and
to be
doing
stunning on Instagram.
Into debt.
No.
That would be falling into debt because
if they ruined the outfit.
But do you know what it is? I hope that they do have
item.
Like an age restriction thing, because that would be good. If they had the, where it's like you have to be a certain age to be able to rent it, or you have to have a certain credit score to
have
be able to
have you heard
do
of
it.
Parents that rent it out for their kids? Parents that want their children to be social media influencers.
That's pathetic. Like
Parents that have Instagram pages specifically for their kids to become influencers.
For
so
what?
It's not, it doesn't matter if there's an age restriction, I think.
But I mean, like, if it's not as easily accessible, then it's, then I don't think it's much of a deal. But if it's someone as easy as going into Prime and getting it and coming out, then I think that's where the problem
is. What do they care? Either way, they're making their money though.
This is what I mean.
You ruin it.
Because for me, I don't care about designer clothes. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's all the same material, all gets made in similar workshops. So I don't.
I do a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
I can tell you do, darling. You do.
Yeah. Tea is bougie. Tea is
bougie.
Let me say that now.
I would not be renting. There's more joy in being like, yeah, I bought
this. Yeah.
I bought this.
Tea
in Milan,
is,
in
listen,
Asia.
Yeah. When I see the way T dresses and she dresses her boys, I'm always like, T, you're bougie, girl, you're bougie. You're bougie.
Guys, those are the views of Sharifa.
Oh, Sharifa, yep, and I stand by it.
This is not the reality.
I'm not bougie to, I'm a bit of both of you.
And you can
I don't
dress
care
nice
about, I don't care
about
designer.
So much money.
I don't care about designer, but I don't mind it. If I had the money and I want to buy a Gucci bag, I'll buy it. But I don't like splashy things with so many
don't
labels.
Don't come
that,
and tell me you're wearing
I don't
a Gucci
like
belt.
That.
Just wear it private. Like,
yeah,
wear
yeah,
it
yeah. That's me.
Like,
that's
I
me. I don't
you
like.
You can't really wear a Gucci belt privately.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, people are like. No, but I know. Do you know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Like, people
like,
that are like, oh, look at my Fendi. Look at my this. Look at my that. Oh, look.
Like,
look
the thing
at
is, for me and designers.
That makes me feel sick. Just
for me
and
designers, I hate the designers that have the label splashed all over it.
Yeah,
I can't do
me,
it.
Yeah, me too.
I just like just one little symbol designer. And that's it. No, but just one little symbol and that's it. Like, not no. splashed
not
all
even,
over it.
You don't
I feel like anyone who has designer clothes but is living in a council house is just needs reality check.
Or one bedroom.
No,
one
but even council, the thing is
shared rental. I know I can tell you so many stories about people that are living in shared rentals, but yet they're wearing, they've got 20 Gucci or Prada or.
If you put all that money together, you could have bought a house.
And then you're like,
this is why.
Are people taking investment?
This is the problem, and this is why there was something going around during Black Lives Matter movement where all these celebrities were boycotting certain designers.
The designer people don't want black people wearing them anyway.
That's the problem. I'm not being funny, but black community, some of us,
live in this designer. No, we're just Americans.
Nigerians.
This design, excuse me, my friend. Let me land. The airplane hasn't even landed in Lagos yet.
She ain't lying.
I feel like you Ghanaians don't do that as well. I beg. Let me rail it back in.
We don't care.
As I was saying, right, they love it.
Wait, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please, there are some Ghanaians who like to floss as well.
There's a lot.
But you get a Nigerian uncle with the polo shirt and the red poncho.
Gucci sliders.
Listen, leave my Nigerian people alone. But just generally, okay, without naming places that people are from, right? Mm-hmm. Generally, we love this show. Mentality of I've got this design, I can afford it. And it can stem from the past of people not being able to afford things, but still it just shows that people need to understand to get generational wealth or to get just wealth in general, to get that investment, invest in properties, invest in things that actually matter a little bit. All these Gucci and stuff, sometimes they don't. Eventually, they really don't.
Anyway, yeah, I kind of think that Selfridges are just doing what they're doing because clearly they are in dire straits and the economy is not doing really well. So they obviously need ways of pumping money into their business and into the economy. And this is just an easy way of doing it. And I can guarantee you if this works, and I think it will work, you're going to find that there are going to be other shops that are going to potentially start doing this.
Yeah.
And what would annoy me is if I go, because those of you that know me know that I love to shop in Zara. Like, I should have shares in that place. But what will annoy me is if I go and I'm trying to now order something from Zara and then it comes and it's looking a bit funny and it smells a bit frowsy, that's because they've now gone and used that one thing to go and do their rent a Zara thing.
I doubt those type of shops will do it, though.
Because they've caught it, it's crap.
Ah, their quality is actually not crap.
I didn't mean Zara. I meant generally, like, high street brands can't do it because the quality isn't that great.
And people can afford high street shops. Yeah,
but what will happen is you're gonna get, because I remember back in the day when Zara first came out, I tell people all this time, I used to work in John Lewis, and we had to wear what they call business attire. So basically a suit or shirt and trousers or shirt and skirt, whatever. I bought a whole blazer, a skirt and trousers, aka a 3-piece suit from Zara, for no more than £40. You cannot do that anymore because Zara now have their limited edition sections or limited pieces. And I can guarantee you that if Selfridges pull this off and do it well, you're going to get other high street places like the Zara's, for example, like maybe not H&M's, but other people that are on the same wavelength as Zara, Massimo Dutti, for example. You're going to get all the type of places that are going to probably potentially try and do those type of things.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And just to get the buy-in. I guess it's not a bad thing for those that can afford it. But if you can't afford it, this is just another slippery slope of going into debt. And it's just not worth it.
I've never really been into the whole renting of clothes. Like, I know some people rent their wedding gowns and stuff, which is, everyone's finance is different. But for me, I just, the idea of renting is just a bit, to be honest, it's the same as going to a charity shop and buying clothes from a charity shop. Like, because they do take care of cleaning it and doing all sorts of things to make sure it's hygienic for someone else buying it or renting it. But I don't know, I'd rather just own it. Like something that is lifelong changing, I would rather just have it and own it, that kind of thing. But yeah, good luck to people that do Selfridges and flaunt your stuff on social media. Have fun.
Mate, if you're a sensible person, you'll know that not everything you see on social media is real. So don't be fooled. But if you want to go and enjoy that life with your handbag and all the rest of it, it's fine. When I know that I can get a designer handbag from flipping, I don't know, Dubai, that's not real, but it looks just as real.
There are markets. I love that.
I might as well just do that than rent. I know that if I spoil it, then I can just chuck it in the bin because I paid, not chuck it in the bin, but I paid £90 or £100 for it, rather than £3,000. And then I know I'm not going to cry. So if you're now going to rent and spend £100 a month, just now go and
But to be honest, from the prices I saw on there, it's like 28, 33. I don't know for how long. Maybe it's for just the day. I don't know how long, how much it's for. It's probably day rates. But it's the price, is what the actual cost of the item is.
Exactly.
And the potential that if you do damage it, do they only take out your deposit or do you have to pay for the whole item? That's the issue. But I'm not really going to research on that because it ain't my business.
Guys, if you are going, listeners out there, if you are going to decide to go and do this, I think you should read your T's and C's, because this is nothing more than like a credit card, but having the goods, and you can fall into debt really, really quickly. I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't advise you, but mate, we just have to do it. Anyway, last week we had the A-level and GCSE results come out for those that should have been sitting their A-level or GCSEs, but due to COVID, they hadn't. The government decided that they were going to use an algorithm to give these poor students their grades, which meant that a lot of students at the time ended up with grades that were lower than what their teachers had predicted them, lower than what they were getting when they actually sat their mocks. And for some students, it would have meant that they missed out on a place of university or weren't able to go and do the subjects they needed to do after GCSEs, which is really, really sad. Other parts of the UK, aka I think it was Wales and Scotland, decided not to use the algorithms and decided to give, which is what you should have done in the first place, UK government, is give students or award students the grades that their teachers would have awarded them, aka their predicted grades. So now a lot of students who didn't contest their who did contest their results will now all have their papers remarked, and they will be getting their grades per predicted grades, which will mean for some people they'll be able to go to the universities of their choice if
their papers are still available. They didn't actually sit exams, you know.
Say that again?
They didn't actually sit exams.
That's what I'm saying. They didn't sit exams.
Yeah.
So what happened is, I don't know how the algorithm worked, but the algorithm, they put their names to the computer. I don't know what data they put into the computer, and it dished out grades, which is not fair. So a computer, based on what information, only God knows, is now giving you your predicted grades, which some of those grades are lower than what you would have The computer is giving you grades that are not letters out of anything.
Anyway. Yeah.
And some of these grades were lower than your predicted grades. So some of these grades were lower than the mocks that you would have sat. So now the government, after protests and all sorts of things, are now
Doing the U-turn
as always. And now giving students the grades that they need, which
that's just
giving them a good thing. My dad made a point there, because if you've got a teacher that doesn't like you and has predicted you low grades, then you're not in a good position either, even though you probably are a high achiever.
That's the thing, but the teachers have to prove why they've given you that grade. And sometimes that grade is not just predicted, it's based on coursework and stuff. But if you feel like your teacher doesn't like you, then you can't actually,
contest it.
And then during the contesting, that's when the teacher would have to prove why they're giving you that grade. But if your coursework is proven that otherwise, then it's a back and forth thing. So it could possibly mean that that student will have to miss out a whole gap year just to get into the uni of their choice, because all of this takes time. We're in August. All of this takes time. So if you have to contest it, it could end up being that you have to present a coursework to show why you are at that grade. So it'll be unfortunate if there are students out there in that position, but I would hope teachers will put their personal feelings aside and actually grade them what they need to be graded. But the back effect of all of this, now that the government is doing a U-turn, is that the universities are suffering now, because now there's an influx of students getting entitled to their first choice, because now they've given them higher grades than what they were actually the logarithm gave them. So now universities need funds to actually be able to take on all these extra students that are getting their first choice. Because if you look at it year by year, not everyone gets their first choice, and it's done for a reason.
if that makes sense. Because a course, if a course is only taking 300 students, it can only take 300 students. But now there's about 400 for one course. Well, students are entitled to that course, if that makes sense. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this whole grading system, but nothing in 2020 has made sense, to be honest. So
I just think the government just need to, like, the government, I just feel like the government, they make decisions without future-proofing it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you decided that we were going to go in lockdown, which is fine, it's for our health, when you decided that students cannot sit their exams because they can't be in the same rooms, okay, you didn't sit down and think about how else they could sit their exams. You just decided that they're not going to sit the exams. You didn't sit down and then decide how you're going to grade these students. You just said, oh, we've got a computer, it'll be easy, let's just get them out because we want to get everything out on time, without realizing that on what basis are you grading these kids, realizing that it's going to have a knock-on effect. And then you make a U-turn. It's just like Boris, oh, coronavirus is fine. You shake someone's hand and then you're in hospital. Like, there needs to be thought process, a thorough thought process involved in when you're making these decisions. I'm not a government official. I can't sit down and say how best to do certain things, but certain things are just elementary. You always have students doing mock exams and they always have predicted grades. If they can't do their exams, let them just be based on their predicted grades. That's fair, because at the end of the day, that's based on the work that you've done.
They've done so
and it's
far,
bish, bash, yeah. Bosh. And all the teachers need to do is just send that off to the... whatever it is, the marking place. I was going to say Ofcom, but it's not Ofcom. But Ofsted or whoever.
I honestly don't know how I would have done, because my predicted grades in GCSE were in the greatest.
Trash!
But I actually got three grades above what I was actually predicted.
Wait, what were you guys doing? I took that shit seriously.
No, I didn't. I started being serious when I was in year 10. That's when I realized, I need to actually be serious.
I'm just being serious, and I'm 29.
I had to have meetings with my teachers and everything just to say, look, I could do it. I'm telling you, I could do it.
The thing is,
my predicted grades weren't that great.
They don't necessarily count to anything GCSE level.
Well, they allow you to get to where you are.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, because obviously I didn't do the best, but I got what I needed. But you don't necessarily follow the path of
GCSE, A-levels, uni. That's what I'm saying as well.
I started a degree just this year, and to get onto the degree, I did a diploma. So it's not necessarily that I relied on my GCSE results to start my degree.
But did you do the diploma because you didn't, your GCSE, you didn't have...
No, you need to do this diploma to get onto the degree. I had my GCSEs. So that did help. The fact that I had my GCSEs that I needed to get onto my diploma did help. But there are other ways to get to where you want to go anyway. So I got what I needed at school, which then enabled me to get my diploma years later. So yeah, it does help to an extent, but it's not the be all and end all, basically. Personally, just based because of my experience.
Those other views of Paulina.
It's my living experience. I'm literally in the situation now. I'm doing a degree
But your GCSEs and your A-levels are your foundations.
Yeah, they are. So take it seriously.
I wouldn't be saying they're not... You're right.
I'm not going to say this to my kids. You're going to work hard and get your A-level GCSEs.
They're not necessarily the things that you need to have to do things in life. Because there are other ways of being able to do things. But those are the foundations and they are very good to have. For me personally, I didn't study hard when I did my first year degree. But your first year degree can also help towards your final grade when you finish university. So for me now, looking back at that, and even now looking at COVID, what I will be telling children is, it doesn't matter whether it's your mock, it doesn't matter whether it is a test run, just take it seriously, because only God knows what's going to happen and only God knows when it's going to be. And I guess to a degree they do these things, yes, to get you exam ready and prepared, but subconsciously, they're probably, who knows, but the system probably is using those to bump up a few grades here and there. So basically, if you are a young person listening to this, congratulations on your grades if you have got them and you've got the grades that you want. if you haven't got the ways that you want, but you're still fighting, good luck. And for those of you that are entering into doing exams for 2021,
all right, so that is it for today. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode, and we will catch you on our next episode. All right, thanks. Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Bye bye.